Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call in with whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call in. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we are just going to go straight into the phone calls and thoughts. We have a story I was about to get into from Utah. Officials are telling some people to take down their skeleton Halloween display. We'll get into that in a second, but first we have Alu from New Hampshire. Alu, what is on your mind?
Hi, guys. I heard a few nights ago Brad, the cop from New Hampshire or Massachusetts, called in.
Ex-cop.
And ex-cop, sorry. And he said that Free Talk Live converted him, I think, which is great. But so you mentioned that he's a minarchist, which is a libertarian who believes in some government, but very minimal.
Do you mind? Do you have the radio on in the background? I can kind of hear.
Like, I don't, but I'm on speaker. Sorry.
Can you get off speaker and give us?
Yeah. Do you mind? It's just even when you talk, it was like kind of bad audio. That's all. If you can do it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Perfect.
Sorry,
much better.
I'm driving. I don't want to admit to a crime, but it is not on speaker now.
Okay.
So anyway, so he mentioned a few things. He said he, you know, believes in liberty and small government, but for a few tiny areas like all of traffic law and all of like gun control for really, you know, weapons that could be really damaging, mass casualty type stuff, and I think a few other stuff. He said he believes the government should exist. But I wanted to counter that. I've actually written about this in a bunch of books. Sales tax, that was the other big one.
In my book,
Taxation is Theft, that is being published right now in process on Audible as well, but it's available on paperback and ebook on Amazon. I explained all the taxes, all the different types of taxes and why we don't need them and how we can actually live just fine without any taxes, and a big government, if you want it, can still function even without any taxes at all. So I explained that. So no, we don't need a big sales tax that Brad the cop mentioned, but he mentioned traffic laws, which is a pretty controversial thing. And he said that we need some traffic laws, or he said most traffic laws should still be in place. I've written about it in a few, I think, Presumed Guilty. I have a whole chapter on traffic laws and how we should abolish every single one, or every single one except maybe reckless driving, because that encompasses everything that could be at all dangerous. So most of it, every other traffic law could be abolished easily.
Right. And the other thing about it is, even though he said that, I think Richie Rich probably made this point, if not Peakless Mountaineer. Those were the co-hosts on with me Saturday whenever Brad called in with this idea. The thing that they did bring up, one of them, was that, so Brad's reasoning for saying this was, oh, well, I've stood in brains because of drunk drivers or just like bad drivers. And
Who else has seen brains on the street?
Probably you.
Yes, a certain anarchist who also worked in EMS for 12 years.
But
the point that they made
was that it's already illegal, and yet he was still standing in brains. I don't think laws are going to stop people from driving drunk, from having accidents.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Sorry, I thought you had something else to say.
Yeah, no, and then the third massive issue that he brought up was weapons of mass destruction. He mentioned nukes and other stuff and other chemical warfare type stuff. We addressed that in an article. The great Michael Sinello wrote an article for Liberty Block years ago, essentially saying, yes, the Second Amendment on principle protects nukes, the natural right to property and to self-defense and to own weapons, also protects all weapons, including nukes, and the founders would have protected it. But he said on a practical level, nukes should be legal because, as I think Peakless and a few others excellently said the other day when they answered him, right now the people who have nukes are the absolute worst people to have them, like Joe Biden, Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping. Yeah. So if it should be regulated or limited to only a few people, the last people on Earth who should be the only ones with that monopoly on nukes being Joe Biden, nobody agrees with that. Because
maybe we should give the nukes to, like, the priests and the popes and the things like that.
No.
Yeah, but still, but anyway, but on a practical level, Michael Sinello explains, just to have in possession a nuclear bomb, it would cost you, like, billions of dollars and, yeah, like, 100 years of research with 1,000 PhDs on your team. So who actually has it at their disposal?
Right.
Again, except governments. So
right. That's exactly what I've tried to say to him.
Yep. They're impossible to attain just because the nuclear material, plutonium or whatever it is, would kill you. Like, you would die if you get exposed to it, unless you have, like, a billion tremendous scientists or a lot of scientists working for you and billions of dollars in research and, you know, the cement, you know, laboratories,
yeah,
and walls and boxes to
right.
contain it. So, like, nobody, it's not realistic to say, oh, but everyone will have nukes. Like, it's so impossible to get for the average person. It doesn't make sense. But in the Pocket Guide to Killing Gun Control, one of my most recent books, I address this and I say all weapons in existence, everything that exists, should be available to every person, especially if governments have it. Everything should be available. It's supposed to be an even playing field. That's natural rights in principle, and that's what the founders wanted, and that's what we wrote in the Second Amendment.
I agree a lot. And the other thing, I already said this on Saturday, but maybe to people who weren't listening then, that I said to Brad when he brought up these three things that, like, he was basically saying, I'd be an anarchist, but these three areas are things I still think we need laws and government for. The main thing I wanted to say to him is I've heard people say that same thing multiple times. Maybe not the exact same areas are their problem areas / things they think are really important that we need the government for. But the thing I said to him was, if something is really important to you, why do you think it should be in the hands of the least responsible, least efficient, most immoral people?
Yeah,
I just
right.
don't get it. It's the most important thing to you that people don't have, you know, weapons of mass destruction and that people drive safely, and you think that it should, you know, the responsibility should lie in the hands of the most irresponsible people on Earth.
Yeah, so I want to tell Brad, if he's listening, or you guys can tell him next time he calls, I would love to debate him. It'll be a nice, friendly debate.
Yeah.
At the Shell and other places, they host Liberty Debates. I would love to debate him on any of those three aforementioned topics, I think.
That would be an interesting debate.
Yeah, that would be really great. Thank you for the call, Alu. And Brad does call into the show. I think he could be, you know, interested in it because he sounds pretty set on these things, and he, you know, was willing to call in to people he knows disagrees with them, so
mm-hmm.
maybe he would do it. It could be interesting. He's also writing on Freekeen again soon.
Awesome.
Oh, lovely.
He hasn't started yet, but soon at Freekeen.com, Brad Jardis will be writing again.
So he did
again.
Before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Like, I don't know if it was a whole decade ago, but he used to write about, you know, bad laws, specifically drug laws.
Cool.
So kind of in his pet topic, or whatever you would call that.
Project? Right?
Yeah, but
Wheelhouse.
I think I just meant that's his topic of interest.
Yeah.
Right.
Going back to this article from HuffPost.com, it says, officials in a Utah community weren't fans of a skeleton pole dancing on city property last week. And that's just such a funny thing.
I'm sure plenty of people were big fans of that.
Yeah, it's that's pretty funny. It says, the city of Grantsville, in a since-deleted Facebook post, they're probably getting a bunch of hate or just, like, people laughing at the bottom.
I honestly, that is my favorite thing to do on Facebook, is troll police.
Because yeah.
sometimes they make it so easy, and it always just warms my heart when I go to the comment section, and there are people, and even, like, sometimes, like, the New Hampshire police, too, like Manchester police, whatever, and there will be people dragging them through the mud, just, like, you should either, like, really, like, judging them, like, I can't believe you're harassing these people, like,
right.
you should be ashamed of yourself, or, like, this is a huge joke. I, you know, like, when they pose in front of, like, you know, an ounce of weed and, like, $100 or, like, something really stupid, and,
right.
and people are just, like, completely trashing them. It's just, it's really wonderful to see.
I think it's a really good thing to do, too. Like, lots of people like to say, like, oh, internet isn't activism. Maybe not if it's the only thing you're doing, but I think that it's a really important thing to do because the internet, social media is now basically public forum. Like, we don't really have, like, the middle of town where people go out and yell things. We have Facebook and
but,
things
and
like that now.
You have access to like millions, if not billions of people on the internet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like to
yeah.
me, like even commenting on stuff on Facebook, I mean, you could change somebody's mind. Like,
exactly.
I think that is absolutely a form of activism.
And
I'm thinking of Carrie Wendler, I think that's her name. She makes these, like, Instagram reels.
Like shorts, yeah.
Yep. And they're just, like, really quick, great information, and she posts, you know, like, she cites her sources and stuff like that, like, where she's getting the information from. But it's, like, a very, like, easy to listen to, digestible, like, you can just send it to your mom or
yep.
your brother or your cousin, like, your friend, whoever, and it could really change their mind and even just educate them about something that they might not hear anywhere else. So stuff like that, I mean, like, that is absolutely a form of activism, in my opinion.
Like, imagine if somebody is considering becoming a cop, they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, I guess I'll become a cop, and then they see in Time of Help, so on their social media, they see cops being bullied, and they're like, oh, I don't want to be, like, lame. I don't want to be like those people, and I don't want to get made fun of for doing my job, so I'm not going to become a cop. Like, that's great. And just, like, changing the public's opinion in general, I think it's great and important. And also the stuff...
It's important to help people change their minds, even if it feels like they're about to die.
Well, the city of Grantsville, in a since-deleted Facebook post, demanded that a Halloween display be stripped from a street sign.
So my question is, was the sign covered? Could people still see the sign?
I'm sure that they could, or else they would probably have said something about that, you know?
Yeah.
I can't see. I just got a picture, but I couldn't see the actual stop sign. But this one, it looks like it's in his yard. Like, it doesn't even look like it's on a stop sign. It's on a pole.
Oh, they did move it. They moved it.
Oh, okay, so they moved it to their yard. I mean, it's hilarious.
It says
that's
that,
great.
The display featured a skeleton working city property like a pole. What does that even mean? While other skeletons tossed money and watched from nearby folding chairs.
Yeah, it's pretty
that's
hilarious.
That's hilarious.
They have flashing lights and the whole bit.
That's awesome. Quote, displays like this are not acceptable, as it is against city code to attach anything to a street sign, unquote. That's what the post said. And the post noted that city officials would remove the display if the person responsible didn't take it down by 9 p.m. on Wednesday. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
They had to make, like, a big deal out of it instead of just going and removing it. The person behind the display moved it before the city's deadline and reportedly used it as an opportunity to step up their decoration game, too. The display, now moved into a front yard, features a new pole for the dancing skeleton, along with more skeletons, lights in the shape of a stage, and a tip jar, according to Salt Lake City's Fox 13.
I mean, they might as well, profit off of this, because now that it's on, I don't know if people are actually going to leave money or if that was their intention or if it was part of the prop.
I didn't think that either, but that'd be cool.
But, I mean, obviously, people are going to be driving from all over the state to go see this now. I mean, like, that's hilarious, and now that it's on the news... people are absolutely going to be traveling very far to see this. That's awesome.
That was right by, like, the Walmart that was closest to me was in a town called Tooele. Tooele and Grantsville are basically the same place. I would definitely go see it. I still live there.
Yeah.
It says, the Halloween display has split the community, the outlet reported, with some deeming it inappropriate, while others have brought their own decorations and left money in the tip jar.
Yeah. Wow, I love it.
We're going to go tip them when we leave. We know what it's like to work for tips, Carrie Sly.
Sex work is real work.
It says a server at Grantsville's The Outpost said during a segment on the controversy posted to YouTube by Fox 32. So, I don't know. It's just like, it's kind of silly thing to say because it's not really a solidarity for the skeletons. It should be solidarity for the people who are being... you know, threatened by the government to have their work taken down. It's just funny. I could totally see, like, a bunch of people in Utah being super against it, though. Like, this is inappropriate.
Because they're pretty, I feel like a lot of people in Utah, like, that's a pretty religious area, right?
Definitely.
Like,
it
a conservative.
Be a religious area, and some people might find it really offensive instead of, you know, I'm going to have a sense of humor about this.
Says a man who told the station he put up the pole dancing display said he looked forward to keeping it going and getting a little more elaborate as we go. maybe a little risque for some people, but it's all in the name of fun, he said. And I wonder if admitting to that, it would be so annoying and crazy if in like a month or something we see an article about man in Utah admitted to a crime and now he's getting, you know, charged.
Oh my gosh.
For it. That would suck. You attach something to a sign. Now you have to go to jail. Well, that's all from that article. I just thought it was kind of funny. And I keep forgetting to say it. You know, it's almost the end of the show now. We have another, like, 45 minutes, or less, actually. But I want people to call in. I'm also going to be on tomorrow. Totally call in and tell us your supernatural, paranormal experiences.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Bonnie loves that stuff. I find that fascinating, too.
It is. You know, almost Halloween. It's the season. I put it on my Instagram, but I keep forgetting to post it elsewhere that anytime I'm on, anybody is welcome to call in with their paranormal experiences, and I think that would be a really fun topic anytime somebody calls in with that.
Should we tell people about Dash as well?
Yeah. Well, thank
we're taking
you for
a bit of a transition.
I put something on it so I would remember that I had to do that, but I completely forgot. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, "This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. Moving on, I have this article that Ian also told me about and said it would be pretty good show prep. It's from the Wall Street Journal, and I think it's pretty, honestly to me, pretty disturbing. Basically, teens want parents to track their phones and monitor their every move.
Whoa.
That's
a little strange. I mean, I thought teens are wanting more privacy.
You'd think so. My mom has my location on my phone.
Huh.
You crazy teen.
See, I like that, though, because I'm like, and even one of my close friends, her boyfriend has her location on her phone, and he's texted me before. We were at my sister's house, who, like, we're notoriously has like zero phone reception, and he texted me and was like, hey, you know, I know this person is supposed to be with you, is she safe, whatever, and for them it's a safety thing. Mm-hmm. So and it's not like a weird like stalker thing or like overbearing or controlling. It makes her feel safe and it makes him feel comforted that he knows, you know, that where she is and where she's safe. But I'm surprised that teenagers
want their parents.
Want that, yeah. I don't know if I would want that when I was a teenager. Now I'm like, I don't care if my mom knows where I am. And sometimes she'll text me funny things like, what are you doing? Like one time I was in New York City randomly, and she's like, what are you doing in New York City? I'm like, oh, that's a little creepy, but this is what I'm doing in New York City.
Yeah, you know? It's different if it's a, I mean, it seems to be consensual because the teens want it either way. But, yeah, I used to have it with my boyfriend because he was a side-of-the-road internet cable splicer.
Yeah.
And he was somewhere different all the time. And it was, like, slightly for safety. Also, just, like, if he wanted me to bring him something,
it's easier.
It would be so hard to find him otherwise.
Yeah.
It's like he'd be in the middle of nowhere. And we just kept it like that all the time. It was like less than...
But yeah, it's more normal when it's like a relationship thing. And it's
right.
I mean, it can be toxic in a relationship. Like I've heard
right.
of...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know what AirTags are.
Yep.
No.
It's an Apple device that you can attach to like a backpack or whatever to kind of... If you lose it, you can track it with your phone.
Right.
I've heard of people that were accusing their significant others of cheating or suspecting them of cheating or whatever. And they'd put them in their cars or in their trunks or whatever to, like, track where they're going.
Oh, wow.
So obviously stuff like that, like, where it's non-consensual, like, or putting it on their phone and they don't know, maybe. Like, so, like, it does have the possibility for misuse, so.
Yep, I mean, if you have a phone, the government knows where you are, but.
Yeah.
Ian was a little disturbed by this article because he just thinks that, like, kids have gone weird. That's basically it. What's interesting about it. It says, this is from the Wall Street Journal, by the way. It says, teenagers have long balked at telling parents where they are. Now they're asking their parents to track them. Every generation experiences its sets of traumas, but social media and real-time news with vivid images about the pandemic, war, and other disasters have heightened these anxieties among young people. And lots of them are closer to their parents than previous generations have been.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if any of this is true. Like, I don't believe any of this.
It's an interesting story nonetheless. I mean, maybe the teenagers are traumatized because, you know, we've been dealing with a collectively traumatizing world for centuries, and now it's just really coming to a head, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where they get get their idea from.
Sure.
Yeah.
But first, I'm going to go to your phone calls and thoughts, because we have Unscreen caller, what's on your mind, and where are you calling from tonight?
My name is John. I'm calling from Nebraska.
What's on your mind, John?
You were talking about Halloween decorations in front of a stop sign, something going on there. I just kind of wanted to point out something similar. You guys were talking about it could possibly be blocking the sign, how that would be an issue or whatever. I just want to point out that, like, where I live, the city I'm in, they plant trees sometimes in front of signs and in meetings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against trees. Not against trees. Love it. The shade's great and all that stuff. But where they put them makes a big difference. You know, I mean, you put that stuff in front of a sign, obviously that's an issue. It's going to grow tall in front of that sign. I've called, and suggested that they do something about stuff like that. Another reason why I got an issue with trees in the city. We've had, like, in the past couple of years, like, 4 people have slammed right into a tree for one reason or another. And, I mean, sorry, 4 deaths.
Wow.
There's been more people who've ran into trees. It's just kind of weird. And so I called the city, I called the mayor's office, I called the, Parks and Rec or whatever, and the Game and Parks. Sorry, I don't even know. Like, I talked to people, they kind of just tossed me back and forth. And they're like, well,
they don't want to do real work. Like, they don't want to actually have to go out there and cut the trees unless, you know, they just want to do the least amount possible and get their paychecks. That's how most government workers are. And the other thing is, like, that sounds like something that might be, I forgot what I was saying. Like, too helpful to the general population. Like, if it's something that doesn't help them, I don't see a government worker doing it. And that's another thing that they do, is just throw you around to the next person and the next person. Do you have anything else on your mind, John? You want to stay on the line?
Oh, yeah, I'll stay on the line.
603-283-6160. More coming up on Free Talk Live. You can call in with whatever's on your mind.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. During a joint press conference with the Australian Prime Minister, President Biden addressed the election of Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. When asked if he was concerned about Johnson attempting to overturn the 2024 election results if Biden were reelected, he said,
I was not worried that Alaska would be able to overturn the election. They had about 60 lawsuits and all the way to the Supreme Court, and every time they lost.
Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota has introduced a bill aimed at combating hazing. The Stop Campus Hazing Act, presented by the Democratic lawmaker in collaboration with Republican Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, mandates that colleges and universities report on-campus hazing incidents. After 4 decades of ownership, Gregory's Restaurant and Bar in the Jersey Shores relinquished its claim on the Taco Tuesday trademark, paving the way for any restaurant to use it. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You can call to get in on the last segment with us, 603-283-6160. And it's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And I'd like to thank Jesse Thomas, who is a silver level amplifier. That means I went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. To help amplify, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live by giving a $5 a month. So thank you so much to Jesse Thomas. We really appreciate it. And if you're interested, listener, in becoming an amplifier, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. So thank you again. We appreciate everyone who gives to the program. I'm going back to the phones to John from Nebraska. John, you were saying that the government in your town doesn't actually care about unsafe driving conditions, and they ignore you when you call them about it.
Yeah, sure. It's that, you know, it's unsafe, but it's not necessarily always their fault. I would say that the drivers of these cars that are running into the trees just so happen to be, like, younger, not as experienced drivers, and most of them, it appeared to be that they were, like, on their phone or intoxicated or inebriated or whatever. But the point is, you know, when you point something out to the people who are, you know, doing these things and the people who are in charge of these things, you know, the authorities or whatever, you try to be reasonable with them, like, hey, listen, look, just go back and look at all the news articles of how many people you got running into a tree you know, in this area or, you know, in just where they're strategically planting this stuff and the signs. And I realize that we have an app, too. There's an app you can take a picture of potholes, report those, or tree branches that are in the way of signs. And they do go out there and take care of that stuff. But it does seem kind of counterproductive when they plant a tree right in front of a sign. You know,
yeah.
It's obviously it's going to grow tall and block the sign anyways. Or maybe that's a money-making scheme that they have set up or some sort of weird conspiracy plot. I don't know.
Whoa,
but,
that'd be crazy.
I just think the trees should keep them out of the median because that seems to be an issue and a little bit further away from the road because people do slide off the road, accidents do happen, all that stuff. But it's just about where the money's going. And I also don't have a problem with artwork, but our city has spent a lot of money on artwork. I don't mind the city.
You mean like murals?
They put something in front of like our arena here. It's like I can't remember if it was $1 million or $2 million.
Jeez,
it's
like a sculpture?
Little, yeah, I think it's like made out of metal or something.
Okay.
And then there's another one a couple blocks down. That's like it looks like a tower, but they spent a ridiculous amount of money on this stuff. And I was looking at that, I was like, you could have gave that to the homeless shelter, or
right.
You could
yeah.
have
and
you
like,
could have used it.
So
to
I will
build
say
a new road or
one of the like local like towns that where I'm from, like that area. What they'll do is they'll have like different youth groups come or like art classes and stuff like that. Like people who and like actual like talented people, not just, you know, putting some crap up there. But they'll have local artists who are willing to dedicate their services to beautifying the city. And they'll make these really amazing murals. And I've seen that in a lot of different cities. And I was under the impression that those people weren't being paid to do stuff like that. Obviously, when you're talking about, like, 3D sculptures, that, like, the materials for that is a lot, you know, more expensive. And typically, like, if there is some sort of sculpture, like, that would be something a town would pay for.
But, like,
but
why pay $1 million when you
yeah,
could just not put
seem,
a sculpture or
that's
pay
the thing,
for a
like,
cheaper
it,
one?
It's almost, like, offensive when, like, people in that city, I'm sure, like, there are a lot of people. I mean, like, the economy is so bad right now. Like, I'm sure there are tons of people who cannot
yeah.
afford groceries, this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, that's really what you're allocating tax money to? Like, it's kind of offensive to people that are struggling, and, you know, you have the government, the state, stealing their money through taxation, and then that's what they do with it?
Can
like,
I
are
ask,
you kidding?
Yeah. John, are you are you listening on the radio or online?
Online.
Okay.
Listening through YouTube.
Oh, lovely.
But, you know, the thing is, like, you know, I mean, this is just, like, city, local stuff, and it is frustrating, and the money could go somewhere better. And I really think that people, you know, I mean, we could go and say, you know, like, our government's sending money to go fight wars that we don't want to fight and stuff. I just really think this way more people need to get out and vote, and I just think we need to find more areas where we can agree where our money should be spent. I mean, I know that, you know, left, right, in the middle, whatever, We just need to start thinking more reasonably, like, what we're doing with our money. And, I mean, I have nothing against trees or art, but
yeah.
I know that like, war is definitely bad, you know?
Well,
so I don't know. I just kind of feel like we all need to start. I don't know what if there's any websites or somebody has a suggestion where, you know, people could, you know, maybe find better ways to spend
I
their
just,
money.
I don't think that you're ever going to, and thank you for the call, but I don't think you're ever going to get to a position where everybody in an entire town in Nebraska agrees on what to spend
never,
money on. That's,
never.
That's why taxation is not the best system or plan to use to spend a whole bunch of people's money. I think that it could be done better, could be done differently. People could just spend money on what they wanted to spend their money on, and other people spend their money on something else. And honestly, I would never choose to buy a sculpture for $1 million. And it would really annoy me, too, if I knew a bunch of my money went to that. Thank you for the call, Tom. I asked if he was listening on the radio because, you know, maybe people in his town would hear it. But since it's not, you know, it's like maybe go to a town hall meeting and talk about that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Moving on, we have Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, some people in the Liberty Movement seem to want to do away with the government, and they want to, like, eliminate the government, and some people seem to want to just bind the government down with the you know, the chains of the Constitution, they used to say, or even beyond the chains of the Constitution, the non-aggression principle. And it's when the War of the Rebellion was going on, the Confederates were not out to destroy the federal government of the United States. They were only out to push the federal government to grant a peace treaty. The federal government was out to destroy the Confederate government. And the Mexican-American War, for example, it was fought to push the Mexican government to buckle, capitulate, and sign a treaty of peace with the United States, defining the boundary line at the Rio Grande. So once it, and the U.S. government troops made it to Mexico City. And they could easily attack the Mexican Congress, but they'd rather just wait and let the Mexican Congress pass a thing saying, yes, we accept that treaty. Okay, so that is the point where the Liberty Movement can call all the shots. There's no real point in destroying a government if you're going to set up another government with maybe a different number of senators and a different number of representatives, but the same enemies of liberty electing them. What is going to happen is forcing the government to comply with an ultimatum. We've got to consider, what would the ultimatum have to say? Immediately open the borders and legalize all drugs and abolish school taxes. But wait a second. What if school is in session? You know, we're going to bring the kids home one last time on the school buses. You know, what about that? You know, and there's a lot of issues that are going to have to be dealt with the mental institutions, where you have people who need mental health help, and some people who don't want mental help. They got locked up for having a bad day.
I get a little lost when you bring up this subject. You've brought up this subject before. It's like, why do you think there's going to be some kind of one exact second that someone's going to declare that the government is gone, and this is like some huge, like, hurdle we all need to get over. You know, like, you're acting like you know this is going to happen, and it just doesn't seem likely. And I also just think, like, people would behave like regular human beings and carry on without letting chaos ensue. Like, people would be like, oh, can we pay the bus drivers for just this afternoon to bring the kids home whose parents are not home? And if the answer was yes, then they would just get taken home on the bus. If the answer was no, people would be like, oh, sorry, I got to leave work right now to go pick up my kids. Is that cool? Of course, that's cool. Like, people would figure it out. It's not that big of a deal.
There'll be a lot of things that would have to be figured out, because there are so many injustices in the system, and some of them are a low priority. Like, if there's a budget cut and there's a backlog at the state police crime lab, and, I mean, nobody seems to care until somebody who's locked in jail is supposed to go to trial, and the prosecution says, well, the tests haven't come back from the lab yet, and so we're going to postpone the trial and let the person rot in jail for another couple of months until they're good and ready to do the test.
Well, that's true, but that has nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
Well, then the freedom fighters would have to say, well, that's fine, as long as you don't mind, we're going to kill 10 cops every night until the test
results. I don't think violence against cops is a good idea.
What is that going to solve?
Yeah, that's
the
just
freedom fighters, like, that's so cringy.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. You know, a lot of libertarians, there may be some libertarians that fantasize about shooting cops and shooting government agents.
But at least Tom.
But at the end of the day, you know, violence is just a horrible solution, a horrible way to solve the problem. If you want to not be part of a system, don't participate in it. You don't need to use violence to, you know, remove yourself from the system.
Yeah, I don't believe that it would even solve the problem.
No.
Right.
So what was the problem? I already don't remember. What was the problem?
He was saying,
somebody being in jail,
like,
right,
left in jail unjustly.
So then, to be like, if I, you know, commit violence against 10 people every day until I get my way.
That's like a two-year-old trying to get a solution.
Yeah.
And
that's
the thing about
it is crazy.
Well, I'm a libertarian because I believe in the principle of nonviolence. So why would I go against that principle in order to achieve, little victories here and there? That's just so silly. Like, I would never achieve my end goal, which is
literally
living in peace.
If I was in jail and someone in one of my friends was like, I'm going to sacrifice 10 people every day. Like, if I called Aria right now and was like, listen, I'm going to sacrifice 10 people every day until they release you from jail. She'd be like, okay.
You're insane.
Yeah, she'd be like, okay, so stop contacting me because you're a psychopath.
Yeah. And I don't. The other thing is, like, I think that it may make the situation worse because if people are like, yeah,
because then you look like the aggressor.
Yeah, there are these group of people that are killing cops in our state.
Yeah, like that
obviously
almost
makes you look bad.
No, it makes you look bad, and then it's like, it gives like fuel to the other side. So it's like, wow, we really do need cops.
Exactly.
Yeah, like look at these crazy people.
Exactly. Yeah, that, we don't like that idea. Tom seems to come up with ideas like that a lot, or at least just call in to praise other people who have killed cops.
I understand that, you know, it's easy to get in a place of anger toward government people because, you know, they do a terrible job, they're whatever. But, you know, if you want to fight anger with anger and violence, it's not gonna bring about change. In fact, it's gonna bring about chaos and more problems in society if we just use violence to solve our problems.
I don't think that people should be violent towards anyone, but as far as just being angry at someone, I wish that more people were angry. Just to start off with, you don't have to stay angry, because that's not a good idea, but if you're going to get angry at the people around you who are absolutely apathetic and do nothing, and call them out and get people's attention about what's going on. That's like kind of my angle, and I just wish more people were doing it. It's never going to do anything to just get mad at the people who. Why do you think the prosecution in Ian's case did what they did? Because they have a monetary incentive to do so, because they're uncaring people who are being absolutely incentivized to do what they did. Not because they just hate me. What's the point of getting mad at them? The thing that makes me more angry is the average person on the street just not caring about what's going on, just feeding this beast every day, and just sitting on their couch eating Cheetos watching Springer, Jerry Springer.
They don't care that your home was raided with drones by the feds. They don't care that a bear cat was driven through your walls.
Yeah. And I don't get the point of being mad at basically a force of nature, like human beings acting on incentives, like, yeah, they're terrible, they're tyrants, and they're despots, and they're parasites, and they're thieves, and they're a gang, and the government sucks, but you know why the government exists? Because there are people out there, the majority of people out there, that don't care, and caring is the first step to changing something. Moving on, we're talking about this article from, I was going to say archive.ph, but it's actually the Wall Street Journal on there, so I don't have to pay them to read it. They're saying that teens want their parents to track their phones and monitor their every move. And we talked about some situations where maybe you might want to be tracked. You know, if you and your boyfriend or parent, you're not together all day and you want to make sure that they know where you are in case you go dark all of a sudden, and
maybe you're a single woman who's going on a date for the first time, and you want to have someone watch out for you like a friend.
That's a great one too, but it just seems surprising to me because being a teenager, I know I would not have wanted my mom to know where my every move was because sometimes I would tell her I was one place and not actually be in that place.
Really?
Where are you, Bonnie?
So it's just like I find it surprising that. It says members of Gen Z ages 11 to 26, which is so insulting, say they use family location sharing apps to bolster a sense of security.
Are you insulted by being called Gen Z?
No, I'm insulted by being called millennial. I really don't like that idea. I don't feel like a millennial, and I don't think 1996 should be considered millennial. It really annoys me.
Well, you want to be a Gen Z?
It's not like I want to be a Gen Z. It's just that I don't fit in. I don't completely fit in with either, but the idea of being a millennial is just ridiculous to me.
I mean, you can be whatever you want to be. I say that I am transgenerational, so I actually identify as a boomer.
Because it's not like it actually matters, but if you're going to make it make sense, 1996 does not belong in millennial.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's also because I repeated a grade, so all my friends were born in 1997.
Yeah.
I can't see myself.
It just feels like an arbitrary line, right? It's
like a bunch of people born in the 80s, that's nothing like me. Like, in 1989.
But they would be Gen X, right?
Well, up to 1984.
Oh.
So most of the 80 year millennials and people who grew up without the internet are nothing like me, you know?
Honestly, I don't want to be grouped with anyone.
I get the idea, but since it gets brought up literally every other article I read and they try to call me a millennial, it just annoys me. Millennials grew up totally different than I did. The people in the group called millennials grew up totally different than I did. I could even see 1995 being the cutoff, but not.
But that's kind of how it is with, like, any generation, right? Like, you have, like, the older half and the younger half, and they're both, like, completely different.
Right. That's probably true, but when it comes to the internet, I feel like that changed so much that they shouldn't have just been, like, oh, yeah, arbitrary 13 years or whatever it is. You know? I think there should be, like, a micro-generation. I would even possibly accept 1995
into it. You
should
just, like, make your own.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't really matter if I make my own. People will keep calling me a millennial, and it's annoying.
Well, I reject their reality.
I do, too, but... It says, members of Gen Z, ages 11 to 26 right now, say they use family location sharing apps to bolster a sense of security. And, you know, that is adding in a whole bunch of adults. So, like we were saying, I can understand an adult giving it to their mom or their boyfriend or whatever, their location. This article is only shocking because it says teenagers are wanting their parents to know
where
they
are. Like, really don't believe it, honestly.
It would be interesting to see where they're coming from. So,
like, I know, like, people do it on Snapchat, like, with their friends, but
yeah,
I couldn't see a teenager wanting to do that with their parents.
Yeah.
Like, you're usually lying to your parents at that age, and, like, you know, you're getting drunk in a field somewhere when you said you were sleeping over your friend's house.
Right. Being a teen used to be a time of rebellion and exploration in your life, but now it just seems like if this article's true, it sounds like the teens just want to be washed more and babied more. And
that'd be freaking,
like,
weird.
And having a helicopter parent over them all the time.
Right. That word does get brought up. It says, downloads of Life 360 doubled in the U.S. since 2021. The app now has more than 33 million monthly active users in the U.S. and another 20 million internationally. Even more teens share their location using Apple's Find My, that's what it's called,
yep,
Google's Family Link, Snapchat's Snap Map, and GPS-equipped smartwatches. Gen Z respondents to a recent survey from Life360 said they share their location when they drive, when they go on dates, and when they attend concerts and other large gatherings. Many keep location sharing on at all times. Yeah, tracking may be creating a false safety net for both parents and teens. Oh, things are really dangerous. You need to be afraid. That's what they're saying. Knowing where kids are doesn't necessarily keep them safe when disaster strikes. Why would anybody think it did? What a dumb, unnecessary sentence. It's just like, obviously.
Yeah.
But at least you know where they are.
Well, at least you know where they're at when disaster strikes, so you can say, oh, well, my child was last year.
Or if you know where they are, you check, and they're not where they're supposed to be, you can go get them. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's the main idea. It's just like, oh, it doesn't keep my kids safe from, like, falling in a hole and dying? Like, thank you for the information, Wall Street Journal. Emery Littig's biggest fear is being abducted. A 10-year-old girl in her hometown of Davenport, Iowa, was kidnapped and murdered by a relative in July 2020. It took 8 months to find her body. News coverage of the case was constant, and it left Emery shaken. And I mean, that's sad and everything, but
I
just feel like, man, you just need to, like, talk to your kid, get them over it, get their mind off of it.
Or maybe teach them how to not be in those situations in the first place where they're potentially abducted. I mean, you know,
it's hard, though, because, like, this was a family member,
yeah,
right?
And
so it's like,
and
if your
members are
the
supposed
kid,
to be trust, tr- yeah,
the
trusted.
Kid was murdered by that kid's relative. I think
oh.
it just happened in this person's
But either
hometown.
Way, if you're going to be murdered or raped or sexually assaulted of any sorts, it's most likely going to be a close family friend or yeah. family member.
Yes, or trusted authority
And that's
figure.
Why it's kind of
exactly.
silly that this person is getting all worried about it while she's in school and getting anxious.
I mean, yeah, it's traumatic.
It's just like,
I mean,
think
I'm not
that
surprised.
It's a parenting thing.
Well, this person needs therapy.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
Like that's
what
it is.
Of help, instead of
yeah.
just, like, feeding their fear. It's her
that's
biggest
what it
fear,
is.
Says.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's valid. I mean, her fear is absolutely valid, but yeah, I think.
I don't know. I think
she
it's
needs...
kind of bad. If you're just. Something happened to someone in your hometown, and now you spend your life afraid of it. I
well, you definitely shouldn't
something
spend
you should
your
move
life.
On from.
I mean, it. Yeah, like, you need to. If somebody is having fears or worries or anxieties that are affecting them in their life, that greatly, they need to go to therapy and they need to get help or do some sort of healing, you know, like they need help.
Right. And instead, this parent is just being a helicopter parent to their 16-year-old. It says, Emery, now a 16-year-old high school junior, began using Life 360 even before that kidnapping when she was in sixth grade. I was a very anxious kid, she says. She says a yearbook survey from last school year showed that half of the more than 1,500 students at her school used the app.
Hmm.
Wow. I wonder if... I don't know. Her friend group of 12 all share their location with one another in it. Some teens don't have a good relationship with their parents or just don't want them to constantly know where they are. Emery says she knows a couple of teens who refuse to be on Life 360 with their parents. Emery likes knowing that if she's in a car accident, her parents will receive an alert. Oh.
I mean, that's definitely helpful.
It says she was riding with friends last year in Des Moines, more than 2 hours from home, when her friend's sister rear-ended another car. Is that seriously something your parents, your phone needs to immediately alert your
parents
for?
How does it know? How does your phone know you rear-ended somebody or got rear-ended? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Even if you were in, like, a fatal car accident, how would it...
My friend,
they'll find out eventually, but why is that, like, I don't know, if anything, like, just call them.
I'm trying to remember exactly the situation I'm thinking of, but somebody posted on social media that I know recently and was like, maybe if you guys know who I'm talking about, you'll know what I'm talking about, but they said, I'm fine, I was just in a rear-ending, and I just was like, what happened?
Okay.
And I was just like, wait, what happened to them? And they were like, they said their phone sent out an alert to all their friends. So it must have been this app or something like that. Now it's all sent.
Or maybe some phones nowadays actually will send out alerts if they feel something in their gyroscopes or whatever.
Well, so maybe. I mean, I haven't heard of that, but one of my good friends had me on her phone as like an emergency, and she would, you know, it would send out alerts randomly.
Well, I'm surprised that the night went by so fast, but that's all for Free Talk Live tonight. We'll be back live tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the calls. It's been Free Talk Live. You can find more of us at freetalklive.com. Peace.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.